This is Sandy Rumegu, program The Arts Considered, and I am back with Ryan Bledsoe. Welcome, Ryan. Ryan, you are owner and one of the artists of the Edge Art Gallery in South Beach, and your gallery, for people who aren't aware, is located just south of the Newport Bridge on Highway 101 and on the west side.
That's correct.
Tell me about your gallery.
It's just something that kind of came to be. I had a lot of friends that kind of goaded me in doing this, and so we put a artist collective together. So I feature over 25 different artists, and I was going to just do a private studio, and it kind of turned public, and I've been having fun ever since.
Well, 25 artists, are they in all media?
All media.
And artists are always clamoring for places to show their work. How does an artist go about becoming attached or belonging, or however you define that?
Well, what they need to do is they need to pick out a couple great pieces and bring it into the gallery, and we'll take a look and see if it fits for the gallery. And the great thing is I take a very low commission on their art, and that means the majority of the money goes back to the artist, and that's the main thing. Oh. Is that we're not overpricing their art.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I, as an artist, have galleries in Portland, and the starting is 50% is what they take from the artist and their work.
Right.
About your work, you are an artist, so talk about what you do.
I guess I got to come out of the closet.
Yes, you do.
you know, I just fell in love with blown glass. I saw it. A plate wung out, and I was instantly attracted, and begged this guy to teach me. And after bothering him for about 4 months, he finally said okay, and started teaching me, and I've never looked back since, and I can't get enough. I keep finding new and great people. Every corner I go around, or a new studio I walk in, or a new gallery I walk in. So I'm just meeting lots of great, fun people, and my art's getting better and better every day, so it's just really great to be able to have fun with your art and be expressive and collaborate with other artists, and it's just a whole new network that I was totally shut off to until I opened up this place. So that's what's really great.
Well, now, how long have you been open there?
We opened up June 25th.
Of this year.
Of this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sitting here talking to you, and on the table between us is this incredibly beautiful hand-blown vase. It's probably, 12, 13 inches high, and it is in the most spectacular cobalt blue. It is just exquisite. And you said you just did this yesterday?
Yeah.
It's still warm.
It's still warm, yeah. I am doing a tree for the Festival of Trees, and so I've picked out several colors that I'm putting on the tree, and this is one of the colors. And like I said, I was doing small little ornaments for too long, and I had to go big. So this was in result to that. And
Now the Festival of Trees is when, and so people can look at your tree. Do we remember? Coming up this next week.
Yeah, okay. There's a silent auction and stuff on Saturday, and the public can view it all week. I think our setup ends on Wednesday.
Okay.
So later on in the week, I believe you can get in there and look at the trees.
This would be to go for this alone. And you said you have like 80 hand-blown ornaments on this.
Yeah, so far over 80. And then we have about $2,000 worth of glass art in this tree. I have special wrap presents underneath my tree that no one's going to know.
Oh.
They're all hand-picked pieces out of my gallery that are going into this. So.
Oh, wow. How exciting. Now, you also own the Hummingbird Glass, is that right?
Yeah, I own Hummingbird Auto Glass. I've been doing automotive glass, which is a service-based industry down here, for about 10 years.
Okay.
And because the company grew, I had to get into a bigger building. I got into the bigger building, and in result to that, I had a bunch of extra space, and that's kind of what spurred the glass shop and gallery, and so it really complements each other when I can do a little bit of Hummingbird in the morning, and then I can turn on my annealer and get the studio hot and blow some glass and then go back to Hummingbird. It's a great mix for me.
Oh, my goodness. And you're a perfect example of the artists I have on this program, and that is that they somehow work their 9-to-5 jobs to support their passion and their arts. It sounds like you found the perfect combination.
You know, I really, really have. Yeah.
And you said you studied, where did you name where was that? Was that in Oregon, your main mentor in learning how
actually,
to...
he was located right here in South Beach. It's a good friend of mine named Chuck Willoughby. And he had a closed studio, so it's a private studio. And that's why it took me 4 months of bothering him every single day to teach me how to blow glass. He's a great friend and really got me on a new fun project, and that's blowing glass.
You also offer classes. I know that people who have their children go out there, that, and you start at what age, you said?
You know, I'll pretty much handle any age. It comes to a point of, you know, seven's the youngest I've done. And, you know, you just kind of work with the student that you're working with and don't push them and make sure everything's safe and fun. And they really have a good time. The funny thing is that my younger students usually more attentive and retain more and can do more on a pipe than an adult can.
Is that right?
I don't know why that is. They're so fascinated with it and free with it, and they have just so much fun.
They aren't all tied up about expectations of how
it
should
be. They want to make it look perfect. They don't care.
Yeah,
they,
right.
They just want to go in there and play with glass. And so that's where good art comes from, is when you've let go and you're just free with the product and you can flow with the product.
Right.
Yeah. And so I see that more in younger students than I do adults.
And there seems to be a transition in my years of teaching that hits in the middle school time. It's like they're great up to then, and then, whoops, the straitjacket goes on them, and they think, well, what would my friends think? Or I can't do that, or it doesn't look right, or it's not real. And that creative process you've just described sort of vanishes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm really cool when it comes to middle schoolers and high schoolers, because this is really cool when you're working with 2,600-degree heat.
Right.
I've worked with... Jan Weeks down in Walport. We're doing some stuff with the students down there.
Now, she teaches where?
Walport.
High school or middle school?
Middle school.
Okay.
And we brought a couple students in, and Shannon was down to do a live spot on that, and we just had a great time. The kids were fired up and thinking they're going to do this for a career, and that's what the kind of inspiration I love to see.
Oh, yes. Well, can you sort of walk us through, if I were to go in as a prospective student and I know nothing about this, what do I expect to see in a glass-blowing studio?
Well, it's an operating studio, for one, so it's it gets fired up every day. What I do is I bring a student in, I run through what all the equipment is and what the equipment does, and then we look at all the color. We lay out a color design. I explain what heats do and what you need to do. And then I get the piece started for them. And then I do a step. Then I put the student on the same step. And within about 30 minutes, we blow a float. And it's to their color and design. And we're done.
So you mean the floats, these gorgeous floats that are for sale, that's one of the first things they get to do?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of the most basic shapes in glass blowing that everybody's got to conquer to go into vases like you see in front of us. It all starts from a small bubble. So that's where we start. Everybody is on a small bubble.
Well, for heaven's sakes. Do you get... there used to be these incredibly hand-blown glass things where they're strung. It's like you build it with strings of glass, melted glass. Is that something you do? Or?
Yeah, we can do that. That's just an Italian form of rolling up glass and stringer.
Okay.
And it's pretty crazy and pretty high-tech. You need 3 or 4 people when you do that.
Okay, so you do work by yourself.
I work by myself, and then I've got several friends that blow glass. I've got a teacher from Seattle that's teaches at Pratt, and he's one of my best friends, and he comes down and blows with me weeks at a time. And then I've got several other people around here locally that also blow with me and also teach. So we have a great network, and if I can't do it, I know somebody in my network that can.
How many people in Lincoln County? Because you do see in Lincoln City there's a glass blowing.
Yeah, we counted the other day, and we're thinking 8 or 9 private studios and 3 or 4 public studios. So for some reason, the Oregon coast here, the Central Oregon coast, is becoming a little hub for glass blowing, and no one knows why, but... I think it's where we live and the inspiration going on for a beach walk or just a nice, beautiful, sunny day, and there's not a lot of people, and people can just really relax and do their thing privately, but then you know, step into a mainframe and be public with it. I think that's the great mix of it.
Well, and in a way, too, it's almost instant gratification. I mean, it's in its incredible form, and you get to see it evolve right in front of your eyes. I mean, the alchemy and magic is all there.
Yeah, and the coolest thing I think that excites me every time I blow glass is that I'll blow a piece of glass, and I don't know what it's going to look like until the next morning.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a kid in a candy store.
Right.
I get to crack it and look, and I'm still like that. You know, every single morning I'll go down, I'm like, oh, what did it turn out today? And and what's the color look like? You just don't know, because as you're mixing colors, a form of chemistry and physiology comes in, and things will counter-react with each other, or temperature or humidity or barometric pressure. I mean, everything affects your glass, so it's different every single day.
Well, you were talking about the West Coast sort of being the magnet that draws people here. Many years ago, of course, in Seattle, it was Dale Chihuly who really set the Seattle art scene on its head with blown glass.
Yeah, Chihuly, he really did bring blown glass to what it is today. I mean, he brought some greats over from Italy, but he was a great marketer, a great networker.
Boy, was he a marketer.
Yeah, and, you know, you see his stuff all over the world.
You said you've been in Lincoln County about 10 years. Where were you before that?
I was up in Seattle for a short time.
Ah.
And I didn't do any glass blowing up in Seattle, but I did work up there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I got my taste of the big city, and I wanted to get back to small town. And I originally grew up over in Staten.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Sure.
And always loved the Oregon coast, and so I just needed to find something that could make a living down here. And it took me a few years to find that, but that's where I got into the auto glass.
Oh, I love that. That's so comforting. That's about the same story I would say that every artist on this show says. There's something that draws them here. You did the design for the trophies for the recent Oyster Cloister that Oregon Coast Community College puts on. But do you want to talk about how the design and all that happened?
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the funnest projects I've ever done.
Okay.
I had done some goblets for a friend that was getting married, and that's the first time I met AT, and she's like, oh, my God, can you make oysters? And I said, I don't know. I've never made an oyster. So, you know, here and there we get all busy, and then 8 months later or so, she gives me a call, and she's like, are you still interested in doing those oysters? And I'm like, heck, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, literally, I went down to a gym at the Lighthouse Deli, and I'm like, dude, I need oyster something.
Right.
And so I got some oyster shells, and I threw them up on my workbench. And I literally just started grabbing glass and grabbing some white color, and it's not a blown piece, it's a hand sculpted piece, so it's a little bit different form of glass work.
Well, explain the difference and how do you do the process?
The oyster that I did for the oyster cloister was it's a solid form, so there is no bubble.
Okay.
And what you'll do is you'll take two or three gathers of glass, that's two or three times in the glass tank, to get some product on the end of your pipe. And then by adding color, white powder is what we used in this case, and some red and some other stuff. But you use tweezers, and you literally tweeze it into shape. I don't know how to really explain it. It's something you got to kind of see.
Uh-huh.
And T and I, we were just back there. We were having simply a blast with it. I had to bring it to AT. I'm like, is this good enough? she was floored. You know, she loved it. And, you know, it was just one of those things that just came to be, and it just turned out to be a really super cool trophy.
Oh, yes. There were pictures in the News Times of it, and just from the black and white, it looked absolutely...
Yeah, they were really cool. I mean, I'm really impressed.
Are you now, is that a form, an oyster form, that you're going to use in your work in some other way, or...
No, it's a form of hand sculpting. So I October I did pumpkins. For December I've done hand tooled snowmen and little Christmas trees. And I really like the fact that I can sculpt with glass. It's a whole new form for me. It's something that really, really interests me. I need to take a ton more classes on it because I'm a 1 year student at it, really. And for the Festival of Trees, you want to look for the hand-sculpted angel I'm going to do for the tree.
Oh, beautiful.
So it'll be the fourth year I've been doing that one. But
People who want to come to the gallery, what are the hours, the phone number, and we'll give more directions. It's the Edge Art Gallery. It's in South Beach. It's on the west side of the highway. And what? It's right next to the Hummingbird.
It's right next to Hummingbird Auto Glass and the Edge Art Gallery in one building.
Okay.
And I'm right next to Halco Welding.
All right.
And if you were to come across the bridge and hit the light, go down about a half mile, and I'm on the right-hand side. You can't miss us.
And what are your hours?
Right now I'm doing 10 to 5.
Every day?
Every day.
Saturday and Sunday?
Even Saturday and Sunday, yes. And you can come in and do a glass class. You don't need to call to an appointment. You can walk in and do that.
Really? Yeah. You mean if I come down there and I say, okay, Ryan, I am dying to know how you do this. You'll show me?
I'll show you. Yeah.
Oh man, that's an offer. Okay. Now you work with kids. How many can you take at once, say?
Well, we did a class. We must have had 6 or 8 students there. But I bring 2 people in, and I won't really do more than 2 people at a time. Everybody gets their individual time, but it can get a little overwhelming. I can only do about 8 people a day because it's so hot.
Well, yes, because of the fear factor of all of the hot glass around.
It gets a little crazy in there, and then by the time we kick the rock and roll on, it's just a whole other story.
Well, again, I do want to say that other artists, you feature other artists in all media.
Mm-hmm.
You take less than most galleries do for percentage of the work for handling their work. And you have an open review process. Is that correct?
Yeah, you just would bring a piece in, and I would just take a look. And if it fits in the gallery, the gallery's kind of taken on its own theme. It's not a theme that I'm trying to create.
Right.
But it's all the artists that have brought stuff in. It's really taken off itself. And that's what's so neat about it. And, I love to see new art. At any form, any level, if you've only been doing it a year, come in and talk to me. I mean, I'd love to see it.
Oh, that is such a great invitation. Are you listening, you artists out there? Go talk to Ryan. And the other thing that I think people and artists need to know is that you said a very important part. It gets a certain theme, and an art gallery just sort of evolves to a certain look, it's what the artist's work and you as curator, really, that's what you are, and as the gallery owner. And it does take shape and form. And I always want to warn artists who, when they go out there and they see, oh dear, my work doesn't really fit, that doesn't mean their work is not right or not good. It just means it doesn't fit that
and
particular
gallery.
It just
doesn't fit today.
Right,
gallery, I swear, it changes every single week you come in. If something is new,
right.
Something has changed, we've brought in a new color, or we've gotten a new artist that spurs something else. I mean, it's always constantly changing. That's the one great thing that I really love about it is the fact that it constantly changes.
Right. And I do want to mention, too, that the location of your gallery there in South Beach, boy, is the parking easy.
Oh, yeah. You can even drive a motorhome in.
Right.
We do have RV parking.
Yeah. I think you said that Cheryl Harrell, who is the station owner and manager, is going to visit you with an entourage.
Yeah, apparently I get to do Cheryl's whole family with glass blowing. That's going to be quite a that'll be great. We're going to do film, video, and take pictures, and we can really do some really interesting stuff when we bring a big group in like that.
I'm thinking of people who, gosh, this is such a great idea. If you were visiting on the coast during the holidays and you wanted to do something with the family, if they were to call you, by the way, your phone number is
867-4197.
867-4197.
Mm-hmm.
They can call you, what, make reservations for a family?
Yeah, that's a total reservation thing. And it doesn't matter what day. I mean, if they wanted a Friday or a Saturday, I don't have a problem doing that.
Okay.
So they just need to give me a call.
And that That's it. And how long, when you give classes during the regular year, how many weeks or how many times really complete a course? Or how you would define a beginning course?
It all is based on how comfortable the person is with the class. Some people can excel quicker in mm-hmm. it because they're ambidextrous, or some people take a little longer. The thing is just to have fun with it, and uh-huh. You'll grow as an individual. If it's anything like me, I saw it, I took a hold of it, and I just couldn't get enough of it. So mm-hmm. I just, as much as I could afford, I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And so, 5 years later, here I am. But
and that brings me up, is it an expensive? I mean, once you get hooked, how expensive is the habit?
It is an expensive habit.
It is?
It is.
Oh, dear.
But the neat thing is, and that's what's so unique about what uh-huh. we're doing down there, is the fact that you have a professional studio to work in.
Okay.
You can arrange certain studio time,
great.
To fit any budget. Like when I first started, I had a $200 a month budget, and I was able to pull it off. So, you can really budget it out, and we'll work with you on that.
Well, in the sales, it seems to me that it's, as they say, it's a hot market.
Yeah, it's a good pun. I think everybody loves blown glass in one form or another.
Right.
It's like you saw the blue vase today and you said,
yes.
Oh my God, that's my favorite color.
Right.
That just happens. And I think, and that's what's so unique about bringing all the different artists in with all the different glass blowers, is that you see so many different spectrums on how to blow a simple bottle or a simple vase. It's endless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't, if you came to my studio and said, oh, there's nothing to make, I'd tell you to leave.
Right.
Because I guarantee I can make floor art real easy. But, it is something that you can just grow and grow, and, maybe in 40 years I can call myself a master. I hope to have that title. But like I said, it's years and years and years. You never stop learning. The glass constantly teaches you,
right.
Constantly changes. Like I said, just a rainy day to a sunny day can affect how you blow glass. I mean, right. it's a really strange thing.
When you blow, and this, you can tell, I know absolutely nothing about the process, but you're blowing air through a pipe, right?
Correct. There's a hollow pipe.
Right.
And you get a little bit of glass on the end of it, and you get a starter bubble, and it's by blowing air through the pipe.
And it has a lot to do with what? Your breath and control.
How hot the glass is, how hard you blow into it, all that. That's just all trying to know what you're doing. And that's what's so neat, is when I bring somebody in and you see those processes right before your eyes.
Right.
It's really, really amazing.
Now, again, I want to give your phone number. I think you're going to have a lot of people interested in this. It's 867.
4197.
4197. And you are open 7 days a week. Your hours again?
10 to 5 right now.
And again, I want to push the idea that if you are here on vacation and your family or just the two of you want to experience this, they can call ahead. And how many days or how far ahead are you booked if they were to call for reservations?
It all depends. It all fluctuates. So just simply give us a call.
Okay. And again, too, you have classes for youngsters. So I can't imagine what a better treat or present for a grandma to give a grandchild than
really
class
cool.
to do that. Our time is ended. I can't believe how fast it went. And again, thank you, Ryan, for talking.
Well, thank
with
you so much for
morning.
Having me.
You're going to have to come back. We want to and see his tree at the Festival of Trees.